John 19, verses 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
To use a modern saying, Jesus was all in. And I don't mean that in a light way, I mean that in the heaviest way possible. He was totally engaged in his last moments on earth before his death, and that included his mind, his body, and his spirit. As you heard verse 28 that said, Jesus knew all was finished. He really went through unthinkable mental anguish. I don't know about you, I usually think of the physical suffering that Jesus endured, the suffering and the torture, the thorns on his head, carrying the cross, the severe beatings. But the knowledge he possessed was even more painful. He knew what was coming. Finishing his mission was what he was focused on as he hung on the cross. Found myself thinking of, maybe it's going to sound like a strange detail to you, but the idea that there was sour wine there. So just bear with me. I thought Jesus went through so much. Why couldn't the wine be sweet? Why did it have to be sour? Like vinegar, and I don't know about you, but I don't even like the smell of vinegar and the thing about drinking it. Jesus expressed his thirst at that moment when he said, "I thirst." He was probably thirsty for a while before that. But once again, we see something really powerful here in the scriptures. The prophecies that God had given to his people were being fulfilled. And this was from Psalm 69:21. It says, "They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink." Just yet another example of Jesus' mistreatment and abuse and suffering on the cross for you and for me. There could be no good wine for the King of the Jews. I want us to see that God's precious word is prophetic to the very end. There were other prophecies fulfilled in the verses before these. His garment was divided and cast into lots and gambled for. None of his bones were broken on the cross, and his body was pierced on the cross. This made me think that God is a promise-keeping God, and he has a powerful plan and purpose for his people. Let's continue to focus on Jesus as our prophet, priest, and king. On the cross, see his humanity. He was thirsty. He expressed it. He felt everything that a human could feel on the cross. Again, mind, body, and spirit. I found this interesting. His crying out for thirst is only recorded in the book of John. It's not recorded anywhere else. And it's the last prophecy fulfilled in the story. And that's a unique and powerful detail, I think, for us to think of tonight. We come to Jesus' next three words when he says, "It is finished." His thought from verse 28 that was read is now being carried out through his actions. He is faithful and obedient to the very end. And is that not our call as his followers, Christians, followers of Christ as well? The suffering servant and Savior was faithful and obedient. We heard that he bowed his head. Did he give up? Was it in defeat? Resounding no's are the answers to those questions. This act of bowing was not in surrender to Satan, but rather to his Father's will. He was not defeated. He is the one who would defeat that unholy trinity of Satan, sin, and self. He bowed his head in submission to the Father's good and perfect will, his mission finally accomplished. He gave up his spirit, willingly, with full consent and full knowledge. His life was not taken by force, but rather freely given up for us, his body, the true church. We read this from Isaiah in the opening passage. Just want to read one of those verses again. Isaiah 53 says, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Earlier in this chapter, Pilate recognized but could not rectify the fact that Jesus was guiltless, and yet was the offering being made for our guilt and our sin. Yes, Jesus was guilty of death under the Jewish law because he made himself, for he claimed to be the Son of God. That's like you or I being crucified because we're human and we claim to be human. I found this quote from Charles Spurgeon just the other day. So I said, okay, Lord, thank you. I just wanted to share it because I think it goes in here well. And it's based on a verse in Isaiah 53. And it's the passage that speaks about Jesus' stripes and how we're healed by his stripes. So here's the quote. Spurgeon says, "Believer in Jesus, can you gaze upon him without tears as he stands before you, the mirror of agonizing love? He is at once fair as the lily for innocence and red as the rose with the crimson of his own blood." You see, Jesus' life and resurrection would lead to eternal salvation for all his people. We would have an everlasting, unquenchable thirst if Jesus hadn't suffered and died for us. We see in these three verses that were read the fulfillment of prophecies, Jesus' humanity, and an expression of his having finished the cup of suffering once and for all. Done, complete, nothing to add to it. Salvation. I just want to conclude with this verse from John chapter 1, verse 29. He says this, and I want us to think of Jesus on the cross and coinciding with this verse. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."